This morning, shall we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. And we read verse 28. Come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This morning, our gospel theme is the rest in Christ. The rest in Christ. And he said, come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the verse before this, that is verse 27, our Lord Jesus Christ made a great declaration about himself and the Father. As he said that, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal himself. And it's a great truth that Christ said before he came, they should come unto him. Before you see that he started to pray and to thank his Father that he has revealed his will to people of no great repute in the world. And yet, he called all to come, all who labor and are heavy laden in their sins to come to him for rest. And before I go on to my text, I want to tell us a little about his words in verse 27. He said that all things are delivered unto me of my Father. You see, many people think of Christ and say, oh, he called God his Father. So Christ, Jesus, is less than God, the Father. He said, oh, he prayed to him, and he said that he's the Son. But the Bible truth is that God the Father is the eternal Father. God the Son is the eternal Son. God the Father does not procreate. He does not beget, like as we give children to our children. No, there's no procreation with God. So he being the Son, his eternal Son, Christ has never, at a point in time, before time began, there was no time that there was no Son. There was no time, there was no Father. Ever the Father, ever the Son, ever the Spirit, they have been in eternity. They have been the same, yet they are distinct from one another as Christ came to reveal them to us. And also, you see, Christ told the Pharisees in John chapter 6, he told them that before Abraham was, I am. And it also tells us that people thought that Christ called himself the Son because he came, because when he was incarnated, became the Son of God. No, his sonship was before he came to be incarnated as man. He was God who came to take our nature because of the work he was coming to do. He is the Emmanuel, God with us. Remember Thomas, when he doubted after resurrection, when he has felt the hands of Christ and he saw that indeed, it was, we said that, my Lord and my God. If Christ was not God, would he have rebuked him? My Lord and my God. So he is our Lord and our God. He is the eternal Son and the eternal Father to as our Father. The Ekan of Pain is there. You can say, as someone, you know, as one is there. I'm a Jew Christian. Now you can imagine chapter 11, verse 20, the actual is there. He's Christian for say. Munya mumbra munchena mwa mabre na adiswa damu so ame mamu ahume. Nye kase ahume ya Christo pende tu ima ahume efi bwane hon ene ye kre mu anase ya kume mu hawe umu Christo pende betu mi aji efi mu. Nye kase ansa Christo obe kasa nse muise ye mbra ni nchena ome maye ahume no. Okaso kan biwa verse 27 na machi machi se o se ni jano di bibia man na o ka se obi anim eba no ejano pe na nim eba no na o se obi anso nim ejano eba na nim ejano na obi a eba no pe no a obeda ne di akere no na me ka se ni fa bre no ma dwim mfu se o yesu o ka se o ye eba ati se e bia ya ko na ewo no ti se bia me se ye wo eba no na e ka se nti sa yakupon on wo ba yakupon I mean from eternity no. We have the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They have ever been, and yet they are the same God. They are three persons, and yet it's the same God. You can't say, yes, Christ.
enye so ba fa nipa su na oba yakopon ba bi ansa na ba fa nipa su no yakopon ba dada na ega se yakopon a emre bi no yakopon ho a na eja no ni ho e bre bi no yakopon so ho a na eba no su ni ho ana de bi no ma yakopon ho a na ne sunsun mun su e de ni ho because Christ, we are told in Corinthians that he is the power and the wisdom of God. When was ever God without his power? When was ever God without his wisdom? And he's the creator of all things. So we carry on with our text. So by this declaration, Christ is only telling us about his work as our mediator, what he has taken upon himself. He has accepted from the Father, for the Father in eternity appointed to save human race before even the falling of Adam and Eve. He has appointed to save us by the redemption of Christ, that he sent his only begotten Son to come to the world and die for sin, which in ages past in the Old Testament, do we have the types and figures in the animal sacrifices where the lamb is taken to be sacrificed for the forgiveness of people's sin. And Christ came as a body, as John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So we look upon him as our sin bearer. So not only did Christ reveal unto us the mysteries in the Godhead, you see, that is Trinity. The Bible will tell you that, oh, there's no Trinity in the Bible. You see, that's what they will say. But that's the Godhead, and that is the three persons in one God, the triune God that we worship. And also, all things that relate to the peace, comfort, and happiness, and salvation of our sinful children of Adam, Christ came to show us and to make us know and to tell us that it is in his hands. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Ekanos said, Christo, yes, of a da. Whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So after this, the Christ follows his compassionate call, invitation to all to come to him who labor and are heavy laden, and I give everyone rest. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in Colossians, we are told that once again, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He himself is before time and everything, and by him all things consist. And he is not a thing. He is not created, I mean, as we are. So further to go into this, he is the only doctor of the soul. You know, human doctors, what can they do? They can only touch the bodies. Or let somebody be depressed in the soul. Which doctor can help him? And especially when the person is full of his own guilt. He has felt his guiltiness before God. He cannot do anything about it. Let all the medical doctors in the world come. They cannot touch his soul. It's a spiritual matter. And it's only Christ who can deal with such a case. The doctor of us, for he made our soul. He was the one who breathed into our nostrils the breath of life when man was first created. The Ekanu said, Christo, someone ya obi ya born no oye ono no bo bibia no a odi ho ansa bibia ba a oye onyamiti asefo no yesi ono so no ye kra no a doctor na yesi we are say omo a ye oye doctor omo hwe o ya sa nsemu nya no ye hunam ani pe no mutumi edeka omo embo abo anya ye hunam ani ega se ye ma obi ne rem ho ana se na kumem onya hoto. Doctor Bian to me, a drop being who has a bit to me, actually, and if he's out to be animal. Christo pet a bit to me. Apostle Paul, considering his vain struggles to deliver from sin, so he found it in Christ, said that, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Sin, the body of death. Because sin sinks us to death, sin brings us under the judgment of God, sin will take people to eternal damnation. He said that, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Apostle Paul, you may be not sure how I come and one near door soon. Anybody or not to me here? Who said, hey, now I want to bet me I'd be if you saw Bonnie William. I can say, or say, want to bet me I'd be if you saw a woman, I can say, oh, or castle, if you say, Bonnie, you, Bonnie, and a ma, yeah, DBI, you do, and I'm Bonnie's a mamma for cocoa and something. There you will. Now I say that Radias said, and I'm Miss Christos, and I'm Christos who pet me bet me, yes, I'm fat. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ who gives assured rest to weary souls that come to him by faith. It is only Christ who has promised that no religion, nobody can give rest to the soul. He gives rest from the terror of the law. You see, the law of God is against every sinner because each time
Our very nature is self sinful. Each time we also sin, we break the law of God. And his terrors is chasing us, and a steady peace of conscience. He can tell us to have rest from the law, that he has obeyed it for us. That we can only be left content when we put our trust in him. Else the law and the terrors of the law is chasing us. It is only in him that the law was fully met. He was the only man who can live without sin. And he did that not for himself, but for us. So that when we trust in him, as Christ pitches for us such redemption, that his righteousness will be given unto us. We call it substitutionary atonement. In Romans, we are told that it will be accounted on our behalf, as it was accounted unto Abraham that he trusted in God. Rest from the power of sin. He cannot give us rest from the power of sin. In a stable condition of the soul and in self-control. Sometimes you hear people say, oh, in Africa, in Ghana, it's very common. People say, oh, this person, his habitual sin, demons have possessed him. Or because he drinks, he cannot stop drinking. Or he's a prostitute, he cannot stop prostituting. And I always tell people that, no, his sin has really destroyed him. It's not demon. Yes, if demon even can help him, it's because of his love of sin. It's because he loves his sin. So the power of sin controls him. It's not the power of demons. And this so-called false prophet and false past preachers of our time will tell how people have been under the control of the power of sin. They rather say they are going to deliver them from the demon, whatever. But the problem is in their heart. Men love their sin, and out of it, all the troubles of life come. The drunkard drinks, he's not able to stop because the love of his drunkenness. So it's only Christ that can relieve us from such power of sin. So I tell people that even if somebody is demon possessed, let him trust in Christ. He alone can deliver him. Nobody can deliver anyone from the power of sin and its control over our lives. A rest in God and a satisfaction of the soul in his pardoned life. See, not only does he deliver us from the dominion of our own sins, but he gives us rest so that we will stand before God that, oh, God has pardoned us because of his work he did on the cross of Calvary. Dear young candidate, yes, sir. Christopher, the way to me, I'm my Ahotofi, Embrano, Miss Mambrano, a Kikembuya. So, God's way of money be a Membrano. So, I have thou shalt not. If you do, you have sinned against you. I say, and your money, and you say, and you say, anytime you have money be a Membrano, Embrano, a deity. And now, if Christopher, the way to me, I dream more, a more chest, and you have a Membrano, your boost. If you said, oh, your boost, you crown. Baba be this at your mind. Say, your shame on your real tune so well, or the young point, your bonnet at the chain. And I say, bonnet so much, I want to mission the person also. Christopher, which me idea if you bonnet 2 minutes. If you say, because oh, and because Africa and Ghana had the ASO, Nippa, why we answer, we are Tamano, before Nahano, and I said, Dabby, and the bonnet at a dinner soon. Say, Christo, Jenny Finney Bonnie Moore. Before they had a grave for me, honey. They born in Ashen or so, Jamaica born in Ashen or so, is Subaipia at the Nipama, a money pie and no ma, or dear wedder, Mama Christopher. 2 years it is our one nature, a big Janiaco. So a big crown, being the Janiaco. Demons don't have control by humans, we give ourselves to them. So long as you are willing to come to Christ, you'll be delivered from whatever demon possession you have that's over you. But let us think of ourselves, friends. Are we sometimes, we all, even believers, struggle with our own sins? And what about somebody here who has not, come to our Lord Jesus Christ? And I know sometimes the struggles of sin, we have all been in that situation before. The struggles of sin in our hearts. We want to leave it, and it is chasing us. We leave one thing, we want to run away from it, and it is chasing us. The temptation has been thrown at us from left, right, and center. We are not able to do everything. Every human heart, if the conscience is not deranged, cannot deny the struggles on the burden of sin on his heart. They can say, you have a bonnet, a friend say, so any at the bar of him, so be the bonus on ya, DBA now per se, go on per se, which won't cry for you, but we are in a house where Bisham. Now make us say, Obia be kind of cry. You say, Obia ne Nitibua, I say, obey to Mr. Bonnet, in fact, Obia ne Bonnet, who we are seeing. It is only those who seem to cover their conscience before God that they can say, oh, there's no sin, or sin is nothing. He's a deceiver. Every conscience, I mean, a man with conscience knows that there's sin troubling the human nature. So only that some also by their pleasure derived from sin and willful hatred for God are deceived to suppress their guilt. Ebi mo so no bonya ko no enne mi so mu panya me kra no mati no enti o ma tena o mu conscience o mu tibu aso na o mu koso eya boni because boni ji o me ni enti obi obaka se boni an ha no 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 wakata sa conscience tibu na be ma boni ade edi na ha no wakata so. But to all those who suppress their guilt, the Bible tells us in Numbers 32 verse 20, it says that, behold, we have sinned against the Lord. For me to suppress my conscience against my sin, I have sinned against the Lord. And he said that, and be sure, your sin will find you out. Yes, this world you can cover yourself and be as you are, and you die peacefully, you'll be buried peacefully. Oh, but the day of judgment will come. Before the Almighty Judge of all the earth, your sin will be made so clear, as a crystal clear before your eyes, and you see that indeed your sin has really found you up. Like Achan, when he has taken that thing from the booty, and later he was found out, and he could not do anything, but only that I have done it. And yet it was late for him to repent when he said that I have done it, because when the inquiry was first made, he did not. And many today are being guilty because of that. When the gospel is telling us we are sinners, let us own it. Come to Christ. Come to him and seek his pardon. Oh no, let's put it aside. At the day when we own it, before the judgment seat of Christ, it will be late. We will own it, but there will be no mercy for us, to take us from our sin. Our souls need rest, a rest which the world cannot give. All creation has no power. The lasting rest which the soul desire after. Ask those who are great philosophers of the world. They cannot tell you. The scientists, the entertainer, the billionaires, the politicians, all the big names in the world cannot tell you where the rest comes from. They might suggest something, but it's not. Remember King Saul, when he was troubled, he saw. The best psalmist, King David, was playing his instrument, and he was still troubled. He even took a javelin to slay him. So his heart could not rest from the music that have to calm his heart. The air can say, we are see, baby, and we are see, to me, I'm a nipa, crano, and ya, a sombre, sir, one name, the swap, as you can, any home man. Negas, if you say, we are seeing answer for, and then I bought them with your four, and no more guinea penny, I'm a wasi capa, and no more cramp by your policy, be some, or be any answer, but to me, I can be actual, but in yano, and position. Negas, say, Becaya, King Saul, in the Old Testament, you know. Bible says that when home feel so a bone oma sunsun bone ba no so no David kwa na obonyum jiji ne obonyum kwa na na come on 20 him of fathers of the word David, because his soul was restless. It cannot calm his soul. All things in this world that people pursue to calm their souls desires are insufficient. Oh, but we know that our text that we just have told us, there's what a rest we can seek for our soul in Christ. And that is what I want us to further think about as we move on in our lesson. We will first look at false rest, the rest in Christ, and also how to obtain it. False rest. What is false rest? There are many who make riches their God and seek in them a rest for their souls. It is said of Napoleon Bonaparte, one of his companions in arms. He said that he has reached the very peak of his prosperity because he has almost conquered the whole world. He said he has gained everything and yet he is unhappy. He was unhappy. He gained, Bonaparte conquered many, marching to Russia to finish that part, and he was, by providence, he was cut off and all that. He was unhappy. So, Alexander the Great also said that. He said that other world for him to conquer. You see, it is true that, and also a lesson to be learned by many, that you will never find a man who has enough money in our life, who has ever had enough money, and yet
as if the world also deceives us to think that having money will make you happy. But who has ever had enough money? No one. It is said of one billionaire when he was asked, how much do you want so that you'll be satisfied? He said that just $1, the next dollar, the next person, the next city. And each one of us, I'm sure, some of us think our happiness dwells in our next salary we may have, or our next big job we may have. We may have it, we may get all the benefit from it, we may get whatever we want to do, and yet this soul will never be satisfied. A soul depressed with sin, a soul of sin can never depress with whatever we get in this life. Some people also chase after worldly ambition. Someone may say, oh, I should be satisfied and sleep content in my grave if my name is made renowned to posterity. Or if I can do this great deed so that my name will register for thousands of years to come. And having done something great and like a man of respect or a woman of respect, whatever. And so someone has pursued his aim, at last made himself a rest of fame. He has become famous in the world, but ask the famous people of the world. They will tell you what is deep in their heart. This truth is always true. This saying is always true. On easy lie the head that wears the crown. You might not be there, so you think it's all that rosy. But when you go there, you see that, as the motto says, that on easy lie the head that wears the crown. Soon they discover the thorns of care overwhelming the joy of their achievement. The thorns of care, the troubles of the care will outweigh even the little comfort they may have from it. Often many young people are deceived to think that serious religion is for the older people. Oh, I'm a young man, I have my strength. For now, I have to have my job, I have to have a family and build up something. Yes, I'll go to church, I'll attend on to religious matter, but let me have my life and live as I please. But the Bible warns every young person in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, it says that, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When I am young and energetic, when I have all that the mind to think and to use it for right purposes, that is the time to seek after the Lord. That is the time to give all my energy to seek and know the loving kindness of God through Jesus Christ, to know for him to live so that I can live my life for his purpose. Not that I have lived for myself and I'm old and shattered. Then I see, yes, somebody might have, might find peace at that time, but it is not guaranteed. We might not even get to that old age and we are cut off from this world. There are some also who care not for the fame of this world. And whatever they live, they don't care. They don't care for the fame of this world. But they are also seeking rest for their souls. They don't care to climb the slippery road of earthly fame, and they care not for popularity, whatever it is. But these people are also seeking a rest for their soul. And they hope to find it in the pleasures of this world. They say, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. There are some like that. They don't care to be big names in the earth. They care about getting something, eating and living for their life. They say, a short life, a merry one, is their motto. So they live in the deceptive of drunkenness, defiling life of fleshly lust, and lose profane lives. They live in every known sinful habit they can come across with. They say, let us have our fill of pleasure. Life is too short to think about religion seriously. But let the most successful pleasure seekers relate their experience. As Solomon, he'll tell you, it was vanity and vexation of spirit. Nobody have enjoyed life more than Solomon, because he had wealth, wisdom, everything. Had a kingdom and he was everything. He said that it was vain and it was vexation. It was vanity. It was empty. All the pleasures he chased after, they got him to nowhere. It rather brought pity. It brought sorrow on his soul at his last end. There are some also who are religious, who rest in false belief for their soul's relief. Some rest in that, oh, I am baptized, so I'll have peace when the day of judgment comes. Some also say that, I'm good church attendance. I'm always sitting listening to sermons. Would that give rest to your soul? Some also rest in mere understanding the gospel. Yes, some from Sunday school, we are friends. Like myself, we were both from Sunday school. And before we were converted, we can even argue about scripture. And then, I have the knowledge of God enough. But does that give your soul the rest that is in his, or does also that give you rest from your sin? Does that keep you from you being disobedient? No, it will never. You continue in your sin and still deceive yourself that I have understanding of scripture. Some also rest in their good works. Oh, I can do this and that, and I know that, oh, for me, I'm a good person, and I know that that will really calm my soul. But will that forgive your sin? Will that cancel the sins you have done? No. All these are soul damning rests. Rest that cannot help the soul in a second. It cannot hold the soul before the Almighty Creator of the universe when the day of judgment comes. Now, quickly, let's go to the true rest in Christ in our text. It says that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest, as we have in our text, does not only indicate a relaxation from labor, but it also implies refreshment. Said the can say, say, For instance, a person is exhausted from bearing a heavy load. That person does not only need a relief, but also needs something to eat and drink so as to restore his spirit and energy lost. If somebody is so tired and really, you give him just a seat to sit down. Yes, for the moment, he'll be okay, but a little minute will pass. I need some water. I need some drink. I need some food. So Christ's rest does not only take us away from the trouble, the sin that was chasing us and our load and care, but it gives us something also to keep us revitalized for spiritual life. Such is the rest with the gospel of Jesus Christ bestows. It does not only put a stop to our useless effort to obtain peace for our conscience, but it restores the soul to its appropriate happy place. The place that God made Adam initially, the place that when Adam had such sweet communion with God, the place that when Adam can call upon God and he hears him, a place when there was no sin between him and God, and he can, when God calls, he did not run away. But when God called, he ran because he had sinned and that he was afraid to come. So this rest restores us to that condition where we can have sweet communion with God and we can have his peace in our heart. We will never be afraid when we hear his word of judgment to come. We shall embrace it and own it as our God. To believe the gospel does not only bring peace between you and God, but a true sense of lively joy. This example from believe on Lord Jesus Christ that you are saved and you live your life as you please. No, when we believe on Lord Jesus Christ, he also gives us a life to taste, which is beyond our natural life. A life of sweet communion, a life of prayer, a life of learning his word and enjoying his comfort. A life when I come to the scriptures, I am given help from the Holy Spirit to know and to study for myself. And a life that gives me strength to obey whatever I learn from the word of God. That is what he gives us. He does not only forgive us of our sins. He gives us a life that is able to live to please him. So firstly, there is a present rest to all who believe in Jesus Christ. As we are now, when we come to Jesus Christ, there is a present rest. There is a current rest. In Hebrews 4:12, we are told, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Not after death. Even now, we do enter into rest. We have a rest from all that troubles us. Those who chase after worldly things such as fame, wealth, knowledge, work, entertainment, in hope for satisfaction are those that in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3, it tells us that they weary themselves for the very vanity. it's a strong word. That is the picture. Those who do everything to obtain rest for their soul, apart from what Christ is telling us, is troubling yourself for the very vanity, because it's like bubbles. You see, when children are playing with ladder and you blow it, it comes nicely and it blows off. That's how it's, you are laboring for the very vanity. I'm sure each one of us, we should see some man who says that he's building a big ship with paper box to travel by the sea to US. You laugh at him, that also. But that is what many people are doing. They're wasting their time and energy to acquire rest for their souls apart from Christ. Like the man building that boat with paper. Paper will just sink. Water will just, soak it and it will just sink right now. That is what many people are doing. Yes, many people are very, very busy in that. Christ is there, but no, we want to have our own rest. In this world, you can deceive yourself with such rest. But when the day comes, that rest will expose you. Like the man who will put off all advice to use that paper board, when he's on the seas, then you find his end. This is what the prophet Isaiah also described. He says in Isaiah chapter 20, verse 20, he says that, "For the bed is shorter than the man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it." One of the most painful things is that feeling sleepy, and maybe you travel somewhere, you are given a bed to sleep on. And when you went to the room, you realize that you are too tall for the bed. It will be a painful thing. But that is what the prophet is telling us here. That is what he's telling us here. And this again is just the condition of Abraham who seeks rest for his soul, apart from the permanent and joyful rest for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the Old Testament, the gospel and the new were pictured for us. See the word? "For the bed is shorter than the man can stretch himself." It's figurative. The bed, we rest on our physical, we rest on beds. Our souls need rest. But many are sleeping, are carving for themselves beds that they are too tall for, which they cannot rest. And it's a painful thing. The relief for sin's guilt in the soul is found only in coming to Jesus and believing in him. Those who come to him are like the merchant. You know, the Lord's parable said that there was a merchant who was looking for a pearl, a particular pearl. And when he found a pearl of great price, he sold all that he had, he left everything, all the pearls that he can know, and he went and bought that one pearl that he wanted. That's the gospel. That's the rest in Christ. When we hear Christ calling us to come to him for rest, since his rest is the only rest that any created being, any sinner, any son of Adam needs, we let go of all ambition, we let go of all our hopes, we let go of every sin that beset us. We run for such rest in Christ. That is the only rest that can really calm us. That's the only rest, like the pearl of great price. We should find in Christ our pearl of great price. So my question to you is, where are you looking for relief for your sin? Guilt. I'm sure each one of us know we are guilty before God. But where are you looking for it? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how do you restore back his glory? It's in Christ alone, when you come to Christ and believe on him. And secondly, as we have talked of the current rest in Christ, there is also a future complete rest for all who come to Jesus Christ. Yes, in this life we have that rest that will help us to live and to please him and to have that conscience free from future punishment. There's a future rest, which in Revelation there a lot, but I think only Revelation 21 verse 4, it says that, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Former things, sin, Satan, everything is passed away. There will be total rest from our own sin, and its filthiness, guilt and curse that we feel upon, even as believers, sometimes look upon yourself, "Hey, I'm saved. I know the filthiness of sin. But look at my heart. As this hymn writer wrote that, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. But God should rest his, wandering heart." Every believer always pray that God should arrest his. Because if God should leave even believers to themselves, they will chase after the sinful lust of their heart. But we call on God to always keep us. So see, but there's a day that believers don't have to fear for their wandering from our Savior. Because there will be no sin. And there will be total rest from Satan's temptation, because he who tempts will be done away. He will be cast into the everlasting chains, and there will be no more temptation, and there will be peaceful joy before our dear Savior. There shall be total rest from afflictions of life, sicknesses, trouble, disappointment, death, and many, many things. The day is coming that those who are in Christ will taste a life devoid of all these things. We shall completely be satisfied in our Savior. As 1 John 3:2 tells us what? He said that, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, if we have come to seek that rest in Christ. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, our dear Savior, appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So my question still continues. Do you expect to have rest after this world of toil and sin and temptation and troubles of life? Do you expect it? Seek it in Christ. Seek it in him now. To be in Christ now is a sure foundation for eternal rest. is a sure foundation of that which is to come. But being outside of Christ, like the Noah's, that, like Noah's ark, who are those who were saved? Those who went into the ark. So who can be saved from the damnation to come even in our time? It's through Christ. Noah's ark represented what Christ is to us today. If we run to Christ and we put our faith and trust in Him, He's able to secure us at the day when this world will be dissolved and everything will be taken away. So I'll quickly go to my third point and I'm done. How to obtain this rest in Christ. The Lord said, come unto me. We come to Jesus by believing in Him. It's not bodily movement. It's the movement of the heart. Your heart desires must go out to Him in the exercise of trust on His atoning sacrifice. You must come to Him thinking upon what He has done for your soul, pleading that for your case before the Lord. I've seen my Savior being sacrificed. He has shed His blood. I've been told, the Bible has the history here. Oh Lord, save me. Forgive my sin. Coming in sincerity, knowing that you have nothing else to save you except what He offers. Your desire for salvation must be after Him. To prefer Him above everything. That's another error many people do. Many people have so many ambitions and many things they love and hold on in this world. And yet they say they want to come to God. No. Think that your affections rest on, but you have let go of them and see your all in Christ, you can never have your salvation. Does He say, repent from your sins? Christ said, yes, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye therefore. He tells everyone who comes after Him to repent. To repent from my sin, to repent from my love of the world, of the things of the world, its entertainment, its ambitions, its pleasures, its whatever the world promises, that stands in the way. That makes me not to be obedient servant. I say, repent until my full people sometimes have been repentance is just, I lie, I've stopped lying. No, it's everything that my heart inclines into. Are we willing to repent as he has told us? Are you willing to deprive yourself of your last pride, desire for things to satisfy your guilt? As many also suppress, they desire things that would rather help them to suppress their guilt. If you are willing to go off such things, Christ will receive you. Are you willing to submit to His commands and despise every worldly ambition for His sake? If you are willing, then come, arise, as they told the blind man. When he called, oh, son of David, have mercy upon me. And they said, oh, he called thee, arise and come. Then I also tell you, come, arise from yourself, for He is calling you. Then this call is for you. If you are willing to let go of everything that God hates, everything that God has given you life to see, He hates, arise, for He is calling you. Oh, that you will quickly come and obey Him. Come unto Christ and flee to Him for refuge. It is only in Christ that we can have this rest for our soul. As Isaiah told us that the bed is too short, too narrow for a body to somebody to rest himself on. These are the things we are seeking after without Christ. But the thing is, where else can you go? Each one of us should ask ourselves. Only Jesus can save you from the wrath to come. Be wise. There should be no delay. There should be such attention to the call of Christ to come to Him. And none of us should linger since we have the opportunity to hear. Thousands have died. Our ancestors have died. They never heard the gospel. They have perished in their sins. You and I, we are living in a time where the gospel has reached us. Should we just let it go? If you not come to Christ Jesus for life, you must die and you die eternally. You have embraced your own death. If you are out of Christ, God is angry with you every day. You be in the marketplace, be in the school, at work, at your home, the wrath of God. The Bible says that the wrath, God is angry with the wicked, with the sinner every day. Anyone who is outside of Christ is a sinner. It doesn't matter what religion you have, what good you have done. Being outside of Christ is a sinner. Will you come with your heart? Will you come with your everything? Christ, He told that what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Every faculty of thine, give yourself to Him and look upon Him. For He is ready to receive anyone. In Revelation, we are told that He stands at the door and knock. If any man open, He will come in. So I pray that each one of us who have not found a dear Savior, open his or her heart for Him to come. For He's calling us. For He knows our misery. He knows where sin will take us. He knows how if we don't come for His rest, we shall have no rest. So may you come and trust on His saving grace.